Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Things seem to be going from better to, well, actually better for markets. And we're seeing that the Straits Times Index today here in Singapore, for one, is starting out the new week in the green and also in lockstep with continued ebullient hope across markets in the world. And this despite the fact that there's still a lot of uncertainties out there. Will the COVID-19 pandemic reignite in major economies? Will we start to see more erosion in economic growth and a deeper recession moving forward? And how much can we really bet on a swift recovery for the global economy, which is starting to get priced more and more into the markets as of late? Well, today, to kick off the new trading week, we're joined on Market View on Money FM 89.3 by Mr. Jeffrey Haley, who's the senior market analyst at Awanda, to share with us what he's seeing and whether or not he's buying this recent bounce back and recovery that we're seeing in the markets. Jeff, it's good to hear from you and welcome back to the show.
Cheers, JP. Great to be here.
Despite all of the uncertainties, and really there's still a lot of uncertainties that abound, a couple of those that I just listed a while ago, it seems that markets have found a second and frankly a third wind that isn't stopping today. In your estimates, despite all of these uncertainties, do you think that the worst is over for markets both in Singapore and across the broader region on what can only be pinned to is momentum and lots of it?
I guess the answer to this one is yes. And when you look at the S&P, it's not far off its all-time highs. The NASDAQ on Friday traded actually temporarily in intra-session at a record high before falling back to slowly below it. We've definitely seen a rotation out of the US dollar, which is a haven currency and defensive positioning. We've seen that going on apace over the last 2 weeks, and that money is most certainly heading towards Asian markets and into Europe and into commodity plays such as the Australian and New Zealand dollars. We've seen equity markets rallying strongly all around the world. I think the key word you used there was momentum, and the markets have momentum. So you can either be square or you can be long, but trying to pick a top in this market with so much momentum is a dangerous game. And remember, a lot of this is due to the huge amounts, trillions of dollars of quantitative easing and unconventional easing and on the monetary policy front from central banks around the world. And that money is definitely the main driver behind these equity rallies.
Speaking of that, we're talking about trillions of U.S. dollars in terms of liquidity that's been unleashed in the markets in terms of fiscal and monetary stimulus. And this has actually sent P.E. ratios and some of these valuation metrics to high levels that some feel isn't really justified. But then again, when you look at the landscape today, these are unprecedented levels of liquidity. Should we do a rethink of valuation metrics, such as, say, five-year cyclical P.E.s, for instance, which might be distorted because P.E.s a year ago aren't exactly dealing with the same levels of liquidity that we're seeing with, let's say, year five, if year five is today? Do you think there needs to be a bit of a rethink of some of these valuation metrics and maybe tolerate higher levels because of the amount of liquidity we have?
I think we need to be very careful here that we're not fitting the story to the facts. Markets are terrible at doing this. They create a narrative and they tend to ignore all the bits and pieces that don't fit that narrative, and they use that to justify their positioning. I think it's very important that we understand that equity markets are being pushed to what I consider to be artificial levels by unconventional monetary policy around the world and lots of money looking for a home. We shouldn't be changing scientific methodology to fit that narrative. So in my opinion, we shouldn't be changing that narrative. What we just have to accept is that while this situation continues, we are going to see elevated valuations until we don't, basically.
The thing about momentum, though, and these levels right now, Jeff, is that there's a very distinct possibility that this could also peter out or run out of juice. Every gas tank needs to be refilled, right? Is there a chance that we could see a severe snapback if this momentum ends? And of course, we also have to ask ourselves, is there a chance that this momentum might end?
There's definitely a chance this momentum could end. When I consider about what would cause this momentum to end, as counterintuitive as this whole stock market move is to so many of us when we look at a situation on the ground every day, really the only thing I can see slipping this up at the moment is secondary outbreaks of COVID-19 in major economies, developed economies around the world that require those economies to go back down into lockdown again. Say in China, the United States, Europe, the three main blocks I'm thinking about here. If suddenly we get these huge outbreaks again, remember the Spanish flu in 1918, it came in three waves. It didn't just appear once and then go off into the sunset. It kept coming back. So that, to me, is the main risk point here. But at the moment, the world has clearly chosen getting back to work and economic growth over public health fears, and you can see that in the United States and other countries very clearly, for example. It's always been an issue in developing markets where people just don't have the option of working from home. They live in the cash economy. They need to work every week to eat and have a roof over their houses, over their heads, I'm sorry. So from my point of view, the COVID-19 outbreaks reappearing are the only thing that can really flip this rally up in the near term.
Now, we're still speaking to Mr. Jeffrey Haley, who's a senior market analyst at Wanda here on Money FM 89.3, talking about the strong start to the month of June and the thought that maybe things, the worst is over, at least, for global markets. And markets seem to be continuing to just choose to face forward and extend their forward horizon and betting on things getting better eventually, whether it's in 6 months or 2 years. It's almost a, how salient is it for markets to do this? And is there a possibility that maybe markets shouldn't ignore the near and midterm economic effects, which are still expected to be pretty bad, and continue to face forward, Jeff? Is this salient for markets to just keep on extending their horizon forward when making these cases for more market growth and more market upside?
Well, John Maynard Keynes, one of my favorite quotes he ever made was, "The markets can remain irrational longer than you can stay solvent." And I think that's very much a situation that we're in now. Markets themselves do try to be forward-looking. They try to be forward-looking by looking at data from the past and then extrapolating how the future may perform. So if you talk to anybody in the markets, they go, "Markets are forward-looking." Unfortunately, they're not perfect in how they approach that. When the herd starts running strongly one way, as I touched on before, they tend to ignore the bits of the narrative that don't fit into that view and slurp up the ones that do and use that as an excuse to extend that run. This is definitely what we're seeing at the moment, powered, as I said, by all that 0% money. When you look around the world in developed markets, you cannot get any money on your bank account. I mean, deposit rates are basically zero. If shares are yielding 1.5% or 2%, and also they're appreciating on a capital basis, then that money will naturally flow to that direction, this great search for yield that we've seen on and off since the GFC. It's still going on, and if anything, it's picked up pace now, despite how counterintuitive the performance of the markets are to real life at the moment around the world.
All right. So, Jeff, it seems that this upward momentum might be here for quite some time. And some might fear that maybe they've missed out on a market bottom here. What is your advice for folks who are trying to figure out what their strategy is moving forward, particularly for those who might have thought, "Oh, geez, I might have missed the boat on this one"?
I think it's very important to not look into the detail of price action when it comes to investing. One, it'll turn you crazy, but two, in 30 years of being in the financial markets, I've hardly ever caught the absolute bottom of a move in anything or got the absolute high. These are fallacies. Most people don't get these, and if they do, then it's more pure luck than talent. So if you have a longer-term outlook on investing, and you shouldn't be put off by participating in the market, because the market will go up and down over the years that you're holding these equities, for example, or whichever assets you're investing into. So what has already passed has passed. You can't get it back. So I think it's important either to be concentrated in the here and now or to be looking forward, because whatever's happened in the past and ruminating over lost opportunities is wasted mental capital. If your outlook is a long-term investing horizon, then these sorts of moves shouldn't really concern you. You're really looking to scale into investments over a period of time. So don't waste your mental energy looking backwards, and hardly anybody ever catches the very bottom of a market. So don't look at it as a lost opportunity.
Another thing that's very difficult also is foreshadowing where momentum might favor, or which asset classes momentum might favor. We are in a period of strong momentum right now, Jeff. How tricky is it actually to figure out, well, where do I, which, how do I follow the momentum, and where, which asset classes might this actually flow towards? Because there's so much liquidity right now that it's really just looking for a place to park itself, right? In terms of figure out which asset classes might see more momentum, is this a fool's errand also?
Well, I think it's important to look at what markets have been more, shall we say, have been laggards compared to others. If we look at big tech in the US, that's continued powering higher all the way through this COVID-19 pandemic. It never really retreated when you look at those sectors. Maybe if you're a value investor, you're starting to look at those sectors that have severely underperformed. I think it's still too soon to be looking at things like transport and hotels and cruise ships and such like, because I don't think that market is going to reappear for quite some time. When you look at emerging markets, they have lagged although they've risen, they've lagged Wall Street simply because there hadn't been a rotation of investment out of Wall Street and into other markets for this global growth story. Now we're starting to see the US dollar coming under consistent pressure, and that signals to me that that money is now rotating out of the United States, that defensive positioning in US treasuries, etc., and it's looking for homes. And some of those homes will be places such as Europe and also regional Asia. So certainly you would look to see which areas of the markets have not or have been slower to rise, and that is more than likely where the best opportunities in the medium term lie.
And finally, Jeff, talking about another asset class or another sector of the market that might have seen the worst already, we did hear over the weekend that OPEC has decided to extend those output cuts that seem to have worked quite well over the last couple of weeks. In fact, about 2 months ago, we talked about oil hitting negative and whether things could get worse. Now, the question is, has the worst passed already for oil markets?
The short answer is it depends. And it depends, because it depends on whether we see these COVID-19 outbreaks reoccurring that shut down economies again. If that doesn't happen, then the outlook for oil is looking quite constructive. OPEC has managed to enforce compliance and keep cuts at very elevated levels. Economic activity is picking up, and thus I see no reason in the short term that you should be negative oil, either WTI or Brent, in any shape or form.
Jeff Haley, Senior Market Analyst for Rwanda. Thank you so much for joining us today on Market
Pleasure. Kick. Cheers, JP. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.